And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And, oh, man, celebrity deaths, they always happen in threes, right? Here's number two. Yesterday was Eddie Van Halen, and then later yesterday, Johnny Nash. Johnny Nash passed away yesterday, a few hours after we got word of Eddie Van Halen. This is one of those songs, it's very memorable for me. And I don't know why, the first time I ever heard it, and I was 9 years old, and I remember exactly where I was. I was with my mom at Bon Marché Northgate, and it was playing on the overhead speakers at the Bon. And I remember hearing it thinking, I really like this song. 9 years old. And I mean, I could even tell you precisely where I was in that Bond store. It's so weird because there was nothing else remarkable about that moment other than I heard a song, I really liked it, and it became just... And as you know, Nicole, I just have a horrible memory for so many things, faces, names, but I can pull up names while I'm doing the show. There's something weird about my brain. When I'm off the air, I can't come up with a name to save my life. I have coworkers that I've seen for 10 years. I don't know their names. But I have these vivid little 5-second film strips in my brain, and this is one of them for some reason. I have no idea why.
It's kind of cool. I feel like we all have kind of weird memories like that where some things just stand out more than others, but you do have probably more of them than many.
Well, and I also have two from before age one.
I know, those are the weirdest ones. No, we don't.
Yeah, but... I've proven it. I've conclusively proven both of them. So, anyway, Johnny Nash, he was 80 years old. This isn't even the best version of this song, though. There was a version by a reggae singer, Jimmy Cliff, that he did on Letterman. And, oh, my gosh. Will you load that for the end of the Fastest 15, Nicole?
Sure thing.
Even though it has absolutely no news hook because...
Right.
It's Johnny Nash who died, not Jimmy Cliff. It makes no sense other than I'd love to hear it again. Look for Jimmy Cliff, Letterman, I Can See Clearly Now. That's okay. The killer version of this song. Okay. All right, let me get to the Fastest 15 here. A world of news. This is the crazy. This is an example of how government screws up everything it touches. So when Seattle was going to have the Pronto bike share, Scott Kubley, who along with Mitzi Johanknik is the most incompetent public figure that I've covered, Scott Kubley, he stole over $1 million of taxpayer money, funneled it to his buddies in the bike share industry. He got a ethics fine, but stayed in his job. And then I think it was Durkin who kicked him out of the work because he was so incompetent. But they tried the government-run bike share, and it was ridiculous, and it was stupid. I mean, it had no chance. Well, now they're going to try rental scooters in Seattle. But the city, this is so... Such a perfect example of how government screws up everything it touches. The city government is requiring the scooter companies to put scooters in low-income neighborhoods so they will hit equity targets. And what one company, there are two companies that are going at it with this, Lime and then whatever the other one is. I can't remember off the top of my head. But they talk about the low equity areas in Seattle are First Hill, Central Area, Beacon Hill, Rainier Valley, New Holly, Rainier Beach, South Park, High Point, Seward Park. So they have to put at least 10% of their scooters into equity areas. Now, that's disastrous to tell a business that, you know, people who can't afford, and then they have to give discounts on the scooters in those equity neighborhoods. But to tell a business that they have to operate where people may not want their product, I mean, they just might not use them in some of those other neighborhoods. It's kind of a yuppie thing to ride around on a scooter. But then, as the Times points out in the story, one of the scooter companies, they did not have equity placement. Lime. Lime failed to meet the equity requirement in 2019. Another bike rental company, Jump, met the 10% equity mark. And then they say Lime took over Jump's operations earlier this year. So the company that did not have to abide by the equity requirement, they acquired the failed company that did the equity thing. When government requires things that just don't make business sense, it hurts everybody. It hurts the companies, it hurts the consumer, it hurts employees because it makes companies less viable. And so I'm happy to announce that we're going to have rental scooters in Seattle and they will hit equity targets with them, whatever that means. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, more good news. New name for Eskimo Pies. As you know, Eskimo Pies got canceled by cancel culture because it was horrible to call a 100-year-old ice cream sandwich an Eskimo Pie. Well, the parent company, Dreyer's, they're changing the name of Eskimo Pies. They will now be known as Eddie's Pie, E-D-Y. And that's because one of the founders of the company 100 years ago was Joseph Eddy. So now I'm hoping, now that we've finally once and for all gotten rid of Eskimo Pies and changed the name to Eddie's Pies, can we finally now all just get along? I think that was the last necessary step towards true harmony in our world there. Next up in the Fastest 15, isn't it true, Nicole? I have a horrible memory, but isn't one of your favorite celebrities Dolly Parton?
Yes. She is fascinating to me. I mean, she's fascinating. I love her career. It has been obviously successful, and I love, you know, her songs and her music. But on top of that, I think what she's done as a celebrity has been pretty amazing. She's kept her husband very much out of the limelight. She, you know, is very private for most of the time and then just comes out and kind of does her thing. She doesn't like to get real political, although she's made a couple comments that, you know, I think are fair if you're asked. And then I think that she is adorable, and I just enjoy her personality.
It's interesting when you say that she, you know, stays somewhat private, because one of the things that really made her just explode as a celebrity, when she would go on Johnny, and I remember this when I was a kid, when she would go on Johnny Carson's show, and of course, she's known for being very buxom, and Johnny, it was acceptable back then to make all kinds of jokes and double entendres, and she played it up, and she lapped it up and loved it, and laughed along with Johnny when he would make jokes about her buxomosity, or whatever you call it.
Well, and, obviously she has work done, so she's encouraging that to some extent. Not that she's asking for people to make fun of her, but I think that
he wasn't
she
making
finds
fun.
So I think she finds, you know, she finds humor in life. She likes to be, you know, she likes to take part in the humor. It's not laughing at her. She is contributing to finding humor in life.
Yes. Okay. Well, now we're finding out that Dolly Parton is celebrating her 75th birthday with a return to Playboy magazine. Back in 1978, she appeared on the cover of Playboy, but she did not appear naked for the inside article. Now she says that she will do a photo shoot with Playboy, but it'll have to be in good taste. She said she wants to do an interview with them. I'm amazed that Playboy is still in publication. I know they've been struggling, and I know that they're doing anything they can to stay relevant, but I don't get this one.
I absolutely get it. Look at all the publicity they're getting. There's a cut at the top there for you of her talking about it. But of course, I mean, I don't regularly look at Playboy. I'm not sure if I ever have, but are they ever distasteful? I think that this is genius of them.
Here she is talking about Playboy.
Well, there's some truth in that. I just might do it if I can do it in good taste and they want it. We'll do it along with a really good interview inside. So, yeah, it's possible. Yeah, we've talked about it. Let's put it that way.
And by the way, I don't fault her at all. I don't understand how that's going to be a big circulation grabber for Playboy. I don't know.
When they're a failing magazine. Are they even still in print? I thought they were just online now or something. We keep talking about them going out of publication. But regardless, yes, absolutely. People are going to be like, oh, Dolly Parton's in Playboy. Let's see this. Like, of course they will. What world are you living in that people will not click that?
I remember when I was a little kid, my next door neighbor, he delivered magazines to stores. And, oh, gosh, I think it was Burt Reynolds appeared naked. I talked about this a couple years ago. Burt Reynolds appeared naked in, I don't remember if it was Playgirl or Cosmo. It was some magazine. And my mom wanted to see it. And she never really talked to this neighbor. But I remember her going over to the neighbor's house and asking if he had any leftover copies of this magazine, because mom really wanted to see what all the fuss was about, and he did. And so mom looked at it was a nude photo shoot for Cosmo. It was a Cosmo centerfold. And
nude centerfolds.
Well, no, they did for Burt Reynolds. That's what made it so unique. He had a hand. He had a hand strategically placed, and all was right in the world.
Yes, I've seen that photo.
Have you? Yeah.
See, it's historical. This will be. I mean, this will be history making. You know, this is part of what they'll remember her for.
No one's gonna care. Okay.
Oh my god.
Good for her. Good for her. I say. Okay, and finally, in our fastest 15, I will tell you that one of the few things, because I didn't grow up learning the social graces, because I just kind of grew up on my own. But one of the things I learned from one of my very first girlfriends was a man should open a door for a woman. And it really made an impression on me. That, I mean, as a teenager, and I thought, wow, she really cares about this. And I always thought from that day forward that that's a very nice thing. And I've always held doors for my wife in the 37 years we've been together. I am now finding out that I should no longer do it, because in a brand new column at VT.com, it turns out, the person who wrote this said, from a young age, I've been taught that it's just good manners to hold a door open for somebody. I'm a man, but I'll gladly hold a door open for a woman, a man, and preferably a dog. However, am I being massively sexist by doing this? And according to Twitter, yes, you're supposed to stop holding the door open for women when entering a store. That implies that you believe women are incapable of doing things for themselves and that you view them as incompetent. This can be compared to buckling the seatbelt of a toddler or putting a leash on a dog. To which I say, forget you. I'm going to still be polite. I'm not going to buy in to this. There's no such thing as gender. Yeah, there is. And men should hold doors open for women. And it's not like putting a leash on a dog. Do you like it when guys hold doors open for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why not? It's just good. It's good manners. It's good, you know, it's just a nice thing to do. I would hold a door open for somebody. So if somebody wants to be nice to me, of course I would.
And Dory, last night, Nicole and I met up for dinner, and the author of this article would be proud of me. I let Nicole pay for me. You see, you know, so.
Wow, she treated you like a dog,
yeah.
Sean.
Yeah, I know. Woof.
This was a platonic dinner, right?
Oh, definitely. Well,
yes, it was a late birthday dinner. Nice. We hadn't been able to get together for his birthday.
I already knew that it was a platonic dinner. I didn't want to start rumors among the listeners.
Sure. Also, just to set the record straight, I did offer to pay. Yeah. So
nice. Good for you. All right. No, you know what? A couple weeks ago, I was down at the mall in the morning, and there's a little pizza shop there, and it was closed. And I saw somebody get out of a truck with the pizza shop logo. It was a woman. She was carrying a couple boxes. And I kind of ran across the parking lot to open the door for her. And she seemed to really appreciate it because she was carrying some boxes. And it's just what you do. And I'm sick and tired of people who are trying to say gender doesn't exist and niceties are somehow microaggressions. Bring this up full. Listen to how great Jimmy Cliff's version of this is. Oh, that's good stuff. All right, all of that is your Fastest 15. We're going to check the news for you, and then Brock Huard will join me next on The Dory Monson Show.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Who it is? Check. Brown 24 Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With the 12s, here the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell. Lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up. Making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it is Wednesday afternoon, and that means Brock Huard, you can hear his Above and Beyond podcast, also the Brock and Salk through 710sports.com. He joins us. Good afternoon, Brock. Good to talk to you.
You too, Dory. Thanks for mentioning Above and Beyond, by the way. We've got a couple that are coming out here very soon. Dot Richardson. Dot was a Hall of Fame fast pitch player. She's a coach at Liberty. Unbelievable story from where she started as a 10-year-old playing with 20-year-olds back in the day, and then Carson Palmer, the old NFL quarterback, that is doing some work with Compassion. So yes, thanks for mentioning that, and those will be out here I think in the next couple weeks.
Cool. Yeah, I knew you were putting those together just recently, so that's fantastic. Well, hey, things loosening up. Our governor had a press conference yesterday, and he said that we can now have six people at a table instead of five at a restaurant. And I can't tell you how safer I felt when I heard that, Brock.
Well, I had a number of my friends, text me and say, yeah, just perfect timing. Start opening up these events outdoors. I mean, just as we're going to get to mid-October, November, sounds like just a great time to, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wouldn't necessarily want to do that the last couple months, but yeah. And in an encouraging sign, I also got a note that, over the last 7 days, there have been zero deaths in King County. So that's COVID related. So that also is pretty encouraging.
And not only that, but only one hospitalization even. So, yeah, no, things are moving in the right direction. But the state's still very much shut down. I went out a couple weeks ago. One of my friends from birth, she and her husband were in town for their anniversary, and one of my Little League teammates, him and his wife, organized a little get-together for the six of us. We met at a restaurant, and the waitress just real worried, because we were all six going to sit at a round table. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, one or two of you have to sit at that booth at least 6 feet away.
Oh, my goodness.
That's stupid. We were the only people in this restaurant, and we couldn't sit six at a table. But we can now, finally. So,
have you heard definitively why five versus six? Is there some data?
Yeah, because yesterday six would have killed everybody, but today it's safe. It's all very scientific.
Surreal.
Hey, enough about all this. I got to get to something incredibly important. So a couple of listeners sent this to me from, I know you've seen it, I haven't talked to you about it, but from outkick.com.
Okay.
You know what I'm about to share. You've seen this, right?
I'm sure I have, but go ahead.
Okay. Jason Whitlock ran down 10 things in his column. And number six, Fox Sports NFL broadcaster Brock Heward is special.
No, I did not see that. I actually did not see that. That's very special, like in a good way, or because special can mean a lot of things.
Well, if it meant something else, I wouldn't be reading it here. Here's what he said. He said he reminds me of Joel Klatt and Kirk Herbstreit in the college football broadcasting model. You don't have to be a superstar player to become a superstar broadcaster. Herbstreit and Klatt had solid college careers. They're outstanding calling college football games. Heward had a cup of coffee in the NFL. And then this line you won't like. Starting just four games in a lackluster three-year career.
Well, that's
NFL
not...
I'll go on.
Okay.
The NFL broadcasting model requires on-field stardom. Chris Collinsworth played in the Super Bowl for the Bengals. Troy Aikman's a Hall of Famer. Tony Romo is the Cowboys' starting quarterback. Brock Heward can be as good as Collinsworth, Aikman, and Romo. I loved his call of the Rams-Bills game, his analysis of Josh Allen, battle with recklessness and fearlessness was top shelf. A smart executive should invest in Heward's brand. Find someone to work with him on a call and pair him for a weekly podcast. Heward is the kind of Monday night football solution ESPN should be exploring.
Wow. Wow, that's very kind.
It was I can't believe you've heard about this.
I did not know. No, I did not see that. I know that my older brother, Damon, gave me a call because when Damon was in Kansas City, I believe Jason Whitlock was there in some capacity in Kansas City as a local media guy before he's become a national voice. And Damon said, oh, yeah, Whitlock sent me a really nice text about you and we watched your broadcast. Oh, I said, that's nice. So I had not seen that in the public forum. That's very kind. And unfortunately, you know, where my mind gets stuck on 3 years. I didn't have 3 years. I had 6 years. I don't know what other happened. Well, maybe I guess when you're just holding the clipboard for six, that actually squeezes down and equates to 3 years. But that's very, very, very kind of Mr. Whitlock.
As I read it, I was first and foremost just thrilled for you as a friend because, that I mean, this is a national column. It's fantastic. And then I partly was worried because, is it possible that you're going to get too big for me one of these days? Is the day going to come where you're the number one guy doing NFL games and you're not going to return my calls?
That will not happen. That will never, ever, ever happen.
Sure. No,
for the same reason, Peg and Mike still live down on 9th Street in Puyallup, and they know their roots, and they're not looking to leave. And nope, that was ingrained in early age, Dory. So, no, I will never, ever, ever, ever forget you.
Okay.
How could I?
Okay, and then the final story I have here. McDonald's customer is suing the company. He was biting into a chicken McNugget. He says there was a piece of bone, and he cracked one of his teeth on the bone. He's suing McDonald's for $1.1 million. Since you were there, do you think I should have sued the Sonics and their concessionaire for my cracked tooth at the game we went to?
Quite possibly, but in that case, I may have to testify. And the fact that when that happened and the human shower turned on and you said to me, uh-oh, my dentist warned me of this. So you had had forewarning that this was a distinct possibility. So as far as liability goes, I think some of that probably falls on you. And because I'd have to raise my hand and tell the truth and nothing but the truth, I'd probably have to share that as well. So I don't know what kind of case you'd really have, Dory.
You know what? If you testified against me, I would never return your calls again. That's what that would have done.
Uh-oh.
It never even crossed my mind to sue for that, Brock.
No,
am I?
Because, well, you knew, I mean, you were partly responsible. You didn't get your tooth fixed. You knew that, you know, that opportunity was there. You had a crack, right? You didn't retrofit like these buildings. You didn't retrofit for an earthquake. Right. You didn't retrofit your tooth in time.
I should have put up a little scaffolding, had a little work done. All right. What game are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I get to go see one of our old buddies, Dan Quinn, in the Atlanta Falcons. So the Falcons host the Panthers. I hate being in these positions, Dory. And actually, this week is just a two-man booth. Greg Jennings, who's normally in the booth as well, has a bodybuilding competition. So he is out this weekend. So it'll just be Chris Myers and I.
So do I. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch because I got a bodybuilding competition this weekend.
Well, are you in the all-natural one? Masters?
Yeah, the dad bodybuilding competition. Yeah.
Do they have that? That's a good idea, by the way. That's an excellent idea. Do you think there's a dad bod competition?
Let's partner on that, and we'll be the promoters. We'll make a fortune. I like it.
But I do hate, I apologize. I do hate doing these games because last week I did the Texans and Bill O'Brien got fired the next day.
That's right.
If the Falcons lose to the Panthers and are 0-5, there's probably a strong likelihood. And then the following week I got the Lions with Matt Patricia, who's also been terrible. So yeah, I'm kind of got this little road ahead of me that I'll be curious to see if the coaches can survive.
You could be the kiss of death guy.
Yep.
They'll be what's attached to you.
Okay. Yes. And then they'll be writing different columns.
Seahawks have a late game, so I'll be watching you on Red Zone. We'll see what you got.
Well, I appreciate it. And those Seahawks, how about them? And a chance to get to 5-0 before their bye week. Couldn't write it any better for those guys.
I know. It's awesome.
Pretty cool.
All right. Brock, good talk to you. We'll talk soon.
Always good to catch up, Dory. Be well.
Okay, Brock Huard. Again, check out his Above and Beyond podcast. Access it through MyNorthwest.com, 710Sports.com. And we have lots more straight ahead. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on, rolls on.
Well, I tell you, news is loading up in this presidential race. Just loading up. On NBC, a couple nights ago, they had a Joe Biden town hall. And the people who were on stage asking questions were undecided voters. There was only one problem. A couple of days earlier, the same company, NBC, on MSNBC, these voters identified themselves as Joe Biden voters. But 2 days later, on the parent company NBC, they, and you know, everybody hates the phrase fake news, but they knew that these people were Biden voters, and NBC News presented them to the country as undecided.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Miami, and the town hall meeting with former Vice President Joe Biden taking questions from undecided voters. Peter Gonzalez has next question.
Welcome to Miami, Mr. Vice President. I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, and I've been living in Coral Gables for the last 20-plus years.
Undecided voter is what they call them. But on MSNBC, 2 days earlier, this is one of the guys who said, yeah, I've made up my mind, I'm a Biden guy. NBC lied to the nation because they have such an incredible bias going on. And I'll give you another example. In Australia, the Australian version of 60 Minutes, they are doing a special on Tara Reid, the woman who says that Joe Biden groped her when she was a congressional staffer or a Senate staffer for him. 60 Minutes Australia is doing it. 60 Minutes United States, nope, they aren't touching the story.
Here I am in the Senate office. Here's a good picture of Senator Biden.
He pushed me up against the wall, and then he used his knee to separate my legs.
You're up?
Mm-hmm. She was telling me to go to the police right then and to keep what I was wearing and on and to go to the police.
Why did you resist going to the police?
They're there to protect the senators and congressmen. They're not there to protect us.
Did you sexually assault Tara Reid?
No, it is not true.
What made you think, I'm going to tell the full truth?
I decided that people needed to know. He's going to the highest office of the land.
Well, the question that it needs to be asked is, why would an Australian 60 Minutes audience deserve that story, but not a United States 60 Minutes audience? And I've been hearing stuff today, you know, well, Trump won't sign the stimulus bill. Well, he won't sign it because Pelosi wants to include $1,200 checks for illegals. I haven't heard that mentioned once in any newscast about Trump not signing a stimulus bill. It's incredible how biased so-called news has become. It is only a one-way street, and that's really a sad state. Really a sad state that we're in. I'll talk about this more. Got a lot of great stuff for you in the Big Lead of Two coming up next.